Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Fall Worker Update and Q&A conference call. At this time, all participants' lines are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Ms. Marianne Jackson. Thank you. Please go ahead, ma'am.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, May. I appreciate it. But bigger thanks to all of you for being on the line with us this evening. So good evening, and thanks for joining us tonight in this, I think, one of the most critical answering questions and hopefully giving answers to all of you, some of the most critical workers in this general election in 2020. So we're thrilled to have you spend a little bit of time this evening asking any questions that you may have to make you better prepared for the general election on Tuesday, the 3rd. So thanks again for being here. Also, and by the way, I'm Marianne Jackson. I'm the interim director of elections for Delaware County. On the line with me that you'll hear speaking and answering your questions is Manley Park. Manley is our solicitor of the Board of Elections. We also have Lorene Hagen, our chief clerk, the Bureau of Elections, Crystal Winterbottom, who heads up our voter registration department, Jim Savage, who leads our voting machine warehouse and knows everything about all the equipment, Christina Iacona, who's leading our poll worker coordination, and Christina Peroni, who is also heading up a big project around the pickup and drop-off process for all of you. So hopefully we have all the right people on the line to be able to answer any of your questions. And once again, I just appreciate all of you being on the line. A couple quick things I wanted to cover before we open it up to your questions. The training. So I know many of you have already been through or scheduled for the hands-on training courses that we are offering, and it's come to our attention that some of these hands-on training courses are filling up. And it can be somewhat frustrating. So we're working our best to get some additional hands-on training courses this weekend on both Saturday and Sunday. And we're also going to be opening up a few more of these teleconferences over the weekend as well, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. So we'll be posting that information to our website. For the folks that we also have email addresses for, we'll be sending that out via email. But we wanted to just make sure all of you know that we're trying our very best to training as accessible to all of you as possible. And hopefully most of you, if not all of you, have already had a chance to at least take a look at the training, all the training materials, the videos, and the PDFs that we have on our Delaware County website under poll worker resources. So those should all be available to you as well. The test will be available online tomorrow morning. So I wanted to just put that out there. So a couple of other quick things. Somebody could mute their line a little bit. I don't know if somebody on the speaker line actually needs line. Thanks. Some new things to expect this year for those of you who've been through the training. I know you already know this, and especially if you worked at the primary, but there's a lot of new things that are going on in the election process this year, some of them mandated by the Pennsylvania Election Code, some of them necessitated by trying to lead a general election during a pandemic. But I think many of you know that we do have new voting equipment, and that's why the hands-on training, I think, is so important, even though it's optional. But in order to comply with state law, which now prohibits the use of voting equipment that does not generate a paper backup of each vote cast. Delaware County was required to replace its old voting machines, and in their stead, we have put in place paper ballots. That seems to be one of the most shocking things to voters, especially if they didn't vote in the primary. So at the polling place on Election Day, voters are going to be hand-marking their ballots or using the touch writer and then feeding the ballot into a scanner, which we did not have at the primary. So that is a new piece of equipment. So I wanted to make all of you aware of that. I also wanted to make you aware that the Board of Elections for Delaware County made the decision to deploy a function on the scanners called the overcount and the undercount. And I think that's really important for all of you as poll workers to know, because you'll get some questions from voters. The overcount is that one I think is really self-explanatory. That's if, for instance, somebody votes for both the Republican and Democratic nominee for president, that's going to come back as an over vote. And what happens is when you feed the ballot into the scanner, the scanner will simply just push the ballot back out about halfway through, and it will say that you have over voted, at which point the voter will get a new ballot, and you'll be able to spoil that one. The other function that's deployed is called the undercount, and that is, of course, if people don't choose to vote for every race that is split, it will push the ballot back out about halfway, and it will notify the voter that they can either choose to take the ballot and vote for every race, or they can simply bypass that, and I think you hit the bypass and you insert the ballot again. So it's very easy, but it can be a little bit confusing for voters. So we wanted to make sure that all of you know about that. I think, and then lastly, we wanted to just make sure that everybody knows that no longer, because of changes, significant revisions to the Pennsylvania Election Code, there no longer is straight party ticking or straight party ticket voting or one bubble that you just fill in for one party or the other. So you have to, the voters will actually have to go through and fill in the bubble for each individual candidate. And so you may get some questions on that at the at your precincts on Tuesday as well. So those are just some of the things that are different and why it's so helpful, I think, for all of you to go through the training material so that you're well prepared to answer any questions on Tuesday. And then just one other thing, I'm going to actually ask Christina Peroni, who has been coordinating our pickup and drop-off process, if she wouldn't mind just spending a moment talking about what that process will look like, and then we'll begin to answer some of your questions. So, Christina?
Yep, I'm here. Hi, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in and getting our updates. We do have several updates regarding pickup and drop-off. So we have decided to consolidate to three different locations. It's going to be Coopertown Elementary School, Interboro High School, and Rose Tree Park. We are no longer going to be working in Chester or Upper Darby. So we are going to send you out an email blast, but if you were originally going to Chester or Upper Darby, you will now be going to Rose Tree. So we apologize for that late change, but we think that that will work out best for everyone. We are also going to be sending out a link where you can register for your pickup. And what we're trying to do this time, because we know it was pretty slow last time, is have you put in your driver's license, your phone number, and in particular, which precincts you're picking up for. So if you're picking up for multiple precincts, you can put that in so that we can have your materials ready when you come. So that is different than last time. And then at the end of the evening on election night, when you're all done as well, you're going to go back to the same schools you went to, either Cooper or Interborough, and you will also go to Rose Tree. So wherever you went to get your stuff is where you're going to go to do your drop-off. And hopefully it is more convenient and easier because you'll be able to stay in your cars. So I'm happy to take any questions about that.
Well, actually, why don't we turn it thanks, Christina. I appreciate it. Why don't we turn it over to May, our operator, and we'll open it up for questions about pickup, drop-off, or any questions at all that you may have. So the floor is all of yours. Ask away.
All right. As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from Susan Jewett. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. I have a number of questions. I'll try to be really succinct. First of all, thank you to everybody for having these. So, in no particular order, the affidavits, should a voter wish to remit their mail-in ballot, I understand that we have them fill out an affidavit, the Joe signs, and they sign. What do we actually do with that affidavit? There doesn't seem to be any direction about where to put it. Does it go in the spoiled ballot envelope? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, this is Lorene Hagen. How are you, Ms. Jewett?
Oh, I'm good, Lorene. Nice to hear you.
Nice to hear you. So, yes, I would say that if they complete the affirmation that they're surrendering their voted ballot, they would put that in with the ballot into the spoiled ballot envelope.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Question number two, will the printer come preloaded with paper, and if so, how much?
Yes, printers are. This is Jim Savage from the Voting Machine Warehouse.
Hi, Jim.
Printers are preloaded with paper. There's at least 150 sheets in there, I think. And we will have rovers with extra paper if anybody runs out.
Great. Thank you very much. Third question has to do with the instructions about provisional ballots. These instructions show up on the Election Day Guide, page 14, number 4, and the same instructions in the Guide to Provisional Ballots on page 4. And the Judge of Elections places a provisional ballot sticker on the left side of the paper ballot before issuing the ballot and green secrecy envelope. This seems different to me, and I'm just wondering if it's a mistake or whether provisional balloting is pretty much the same as it's been.
This is Manley Park, solicitor for the board. That is a mistake. There is no sticker.
Oh, thank
you. Same as it always was.
Okay, great. Okay.
And you know what? Could I add something? So as we're talking about mistakes, we noticed that there were a couple of mistakes in the Election Day Guide for poll workers. So apologies for that. But on page 18, it lists when it's talking about the envelopes that you put some of the content in. It lists envelope X. So we actually don't use an envelope X in Delaware County. And it also talks about an envelope Y. So we don't call it a Y, but that actually is the spoiled ballot envelope. So I just wanted to make sure that all of you are aware of that. And again, our apologies for that mistake. And this guide also does not list envelopes C and D, which we do use in Delaware County for return sheets. So those are some of the changes out of that Election Day guide for poll workers.
Okay. I actually had some questions about the envelopes. That's the next one.
Okay.
On page 5 of the Election Day guide, setting up your polling place checklist, if you count 6 little blue boxes up from the bottom, it talks about comparing your ballot seal and certificate with the seal and ID numbers, then confirming that the number of ballots, et cetera. Then it says sign the ballot and seal certificate located in the top flap of the ballot bag and place into envelope W. Is there an envelope W?
We're looking.
This is Maureen. We do not usually use an envelope W, no.
So where would that ballot and seal certificate go?
Let me check on that. One moment.
Okay.
Are we talking about provisionals?
No. We are back to the that question is absolutely answered. We're back to the setting up your polling place checklist.
Yep.
On page 5 of the Election Day Guide.
Well, you know what? While we are looking for the answer to that, did you have another question that you wanted to ask? We're all busy looking through the Election Day Guide to find the answer to that.
Okay, great. Yes, I do have a couple more questions. One is, while you're looking, there's also mention of a zero reports envelope. It says to print 2 copies of the zero reports, post one, and put the other one in envelope Z. And I'm just, it doesn't show a picture of envelope Z. And on page 18, it just says zero reports. It doesn't say there'll be an envelope. So I'm just wondering what to do with that extra zero report.
The zero report, Ms. Jewett, would go in to the C or D envelopes that are coming back to media. So the return sheet that you would return with any of your materials from opening. On the return sheet, you fill out the opening certificate, the seals that you broke.
Right.
Then you would put the zero tape in that envelope. C, I believe, comes to media, and D goes to the minority inspector. So you could put that in the media return envelope.
Okay, so at the end of the night, we would take down the zero report that's been posted and give it to the minority inspector, and the extra one will go back to media in envelope C. Am I correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, good. All right, that's those Cs. Okay. I got a little confused the other yesterday at the thing about what the SURE report actually is. Is it the report, the latest calculation of the ballots that are returned so that we know who not to allow to vote?
That's correct. The SURE report identifies the ballots that have been received back by the Board of Elections. However, since the information was originally prepared, we've received further guidance from the Department of State with respect to the issue of people who believe that they voted a naked ballot in terms of a mail-in or absentee ballot, or that they may have improperly completed the declaration on their mail-in or absentee ballot envelope. If someone comes in and they're in the book as having returned a ballot to the county and the county's received it back, that's what will be in the SURE report. But if they tell you they believe they made some error, like they forgot the privacy envelope on their ballot or they messed up the declaration, they are entitled to vote a provisional ballot. Even though the materials say they don't get any ballot, they are entitled to vote a provisional. Now, there's no risk of a double count here, because if it turns out that their mail-in or absentee ballot was fine, then if we go to look at their provisional ballot and we'll look at the voter history and realize that their vote was already counted in the form of their mail-in or absentee, and their provisional won't count. But if it turns out that they were right and they voted a naked ballot and that mail-in or absentee wasn't counted for that reason, at that point we would look at their provisional. So the solution here is, if in doubt, just give a provisional and we can sort it out with the provisionals.
Okay, great. And actually, that leads me to the next question, because when you were discussing this yesterday, Mr. Parks, I thought I heard, I can't believe it, but because I think I'm wrong, but I thought I heard something about, in that particular case that you were just speaking about, that you write the voter's name in the back of the poll book, and I thought that with provisional you never put their name in the poll book.
No, that is, there may have been some confusion. I don't think I said that. You would not put the provisional ballot voter's name in the poll book, because you're correct. You'd never put that in the poll book. The question was, if somebody comes in and they're not in the poll book in the first place, they're not listed as a registered voter, you call the voter registration office to confirm. It turns out that the voter registration office says, yes, they are registered to vote and for some reason or another didn't make it into the poll book. That person, you write their name and a special code you get from voter registration in the back of the poll book. But that's not for somebody who's going to be voting a provisional ballot. That's for somebody who's not in the book, but turns out they should have been in the book.
Ah, great. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay, I think I'm down to my last question, which just came up at the beginning of this phone call. The hands-on training, I understood, was only going to cover how to set up and run the equipment. And if one feels like the training videos and modules were sufficient, is there more information in those training sessions that I should get to about running the election?
Well, honestly, the training sessions do just cover the equipment. So it goes from soup to nuts, from all the equipment in the cage, how to set it up, the order that you set it up, and then breaking it down. But I don't think that they cover anything in the hands-on training that is not covered in the videos. So, you know, if you feel comfortable watching the videos and you feel like you can do it, the hands-on training is simply just optional. We know that some people feel more comfortable when they get an opportunity to actually do it themselves. So we wanted to provide both methods of learning.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. And lastly, where will the tablet, will we be getting the tablets on Saturday?
You will. You'll be getting the tablets during the pickup process. So the tablets will have all of the training on it that is located on the poll worker resources tab on our website. So if you have any memory lapses or you need a little bit more information about how to handle a certain situation, all that information will be loaded on the tablets, and those will be given out during the pickup process.
Great. Thank you so very much, all of you. You've been amazing throughout all of these new changes. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, May, next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Elizabeth Romaine. Your line is open.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Looking at a lot of things that I'm seeing on social media, I think there's the perception that if you have a mail-in ballot, that on election day, you'll be able to drop off your mail-in ballot at a polling location. And I was wondering if in the materials that we're getting in each precinct, if there might be some kind of reference to where the nearest ballot box might be. So if we get someone who comes to the polling place, we can refer them to where they actually can drop off their ballot. I'll be working in a precinct that isn't my hometown, so I wouldn't like instinctively know where the closest ballot box would be.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think there was a little bit of confusion because during the primary, people were able to drop off their mail-in ballots at the precinct, and that's not the case this time. So there's some folks on the team who may shoot me, but I do think that we could probably put in a list of all of the ballot drop boxes and the voter service centers that will be open on election day for people to visit and drop off their ballots rather than at the precinct. So we'll make sure we take care of that.
Okay,
it's also
great.
Available on the website, delcopa.com/votes. Vote.
Would you suggest that we, like, if we're talking to someone in line, that we would then ask them to, like, what, pull that website up on their phone to look for it?
Well, that would be pretty simple, yeah.
But we'll also have a hard copy for you that you can, we probably won't have copies enough for you to give out to people, but we'll have a copy that you could at least show somebody and refer where all the locations are, and they could pick the one closest to them.
Yeah, I think that might be helpful just in case reception in the polling places is inconsistent. My other question is, you know, I watched the training videos and there was a reference to like a supply kit for PPE. I was just wondering what's in that supply kit and if you suggest that maybe we bring along a couple of extra supplies just in case we run out of something.
So this is Jim Savage again from Voting Machine Warehouse. The PPE kits are being delivered with the voting equipment. It's a box that contains face shields, face masks, gloves, sanitizing wipes, spray, paper towels, pens, a ream of paper for privacy purposes to give to people to put over their ballot. I'm sure I'm missing something. In the cage, you'll have disposable headphone covers if anybody needs to use the headphones on the ballot marking device. I said spray wipes and hand sanitizer, bottle hand sanitizer. If you run out of PPE, our rovers will have extra PPE with them. Call the warehouse hotline, and we will get PPE to you.
Awesome. And apologies if you said this. Would there be some kind of tape or something that we could put on the floor to sort of distance people in the line, or is that something that...
I forgot something. There's going to be a roll of blue tape in the cage, blue painter's tape. You can mark X's for your social distancing.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Elizabeth Kozak. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, it's Elizabeth Kozak. My question was, I attended the meeting yesterday on the phone, and today I actually went to the in-person machine one. But my question is that I thought I heard yesterday they're saying that the pickup at Rose Tree isn't Saturday, but it's Sunday. Would you be able to address that?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. It's going to be Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m.
Oh, so the time's even changed then, too.
Correct. It's 12 to 5 p.m., and the other ones remain on Saturday. So you have an option as to what time you're going to go there, and we will send out a notice about that.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask. Okay, so it's if I was scheduled for Rose Tree Park on Saturday at, let's say, 9 a.m., I'm now Rose Tree Park on Sunday between 12 and 5, and I should register for a time.
Correct. We're going to send out that link.
Okay, thank you. And my next question was, when I attended on Monday, there was a question about, and I know there was a clarification today that when in doubt, give the person a provisional. But on Monday, they were saying something where if they got one mail-in ballot, then they might have gotten another mail-in ballot, and we don't want them to do it, so you wouldn't give them anything. Is that being changed to give them a provisional?
Yeah, that's incorrect under any circumstances. There are people who requested a mail-in or absentee ballot, has come back and to a voter service center indicated that they need a replacement. It occurs to us that a person might take, in that circumstance, a replacement is generated, the original ballot is deactivated and is no longer valid. So if somebody tried to vote it and it was run through the system would, you know, read the barcode, recognize it's a deactivated ballot and kick it out and not count it. However, it wouldn't prevent somebody, in theory, from voting the replacement ballot as a mail-in ballot and then taking the original ballot, which they claim they lost but hid somewhere or whatever, and taking it into a polling place and trying to spoil it in exchange for a real Election Day ballot. In order to avoid that scenario, we're identifying every single person who's received a replacement ballot. They're going to be manually stamped in the poll books with a provisional only red stamp on their name. So there shouldn't be any confusion about whether they can spoil, and anyone in that boat is not going to be entitled to spoil a ballot in exchange for an election, spoil a mail-in or absentee ballot in exchange for an Election Day ballot because of the potential for this sort of double vote. So those folks will be provisional only, and it'll be clearly marked in your poll book.
Okay, so if somebody brings in their, let's just say it's their original mail-in ballot and said, look, I made a lot of mistakes with this, I want to spoil it, then we can give them not a provisional ballot but a regular ballot.
Unless their name is marked with the provisional only stamp in the poll book,
okay.
Correct.
Okay. All right, they were my questions. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, everyone. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Elaine Wiskins. Your line is open.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Okay. My first question is about, in the past, we have gotten a letter in with our packet of information that's mailed to us to designate someone else to pick up our supplies if we, that would be me, is the only elected official in that precinct. Everybody else is going to be curbside. Now, I am the minority inspector. Nobody else is elected. Everybody else is serving as a curbside. I know they all tried to go in and register on the Delco, the poll workers' site, but I don't know if that was successful or not. And I want to know again, since I don't have that letter anymore to designate someone else to pick up our supplies from Interboro High School on Saturday, how do I do that?
I will answer part of your question, or at least part of the background to your question. The fact that you are the only elected person on the local election board isn't a relevant issue. If someone else is, for example, emergency appointed the judge of elections, that person would be entitled, by virtue of being judge of elections, to pick up the materials in having that status. However, if no one is appointed to that position, which I doubt will happen, but it's possible, then, or if you're not sure what's going to happen in that scenario, you don't know who's being emergency appointed, et cetera, you're not sure, it's okay if you register through the link to do it, and then the folks who are on the back end of that and looking at those registrations, if there are multiple registrations of people trying to pick up those materials, they will sort that out and inform everybody who's registered who will be picking up the materials. And in, you know, assuming that one of those people is the actual judge of elections, then I think that we would probably pick that person. But
Okay. Let me stop
you
for a second.
You register through the link that comes around.
Okay, we did register through the link. Here's where the confusion comes in. Okay, I am elected as minority inspector, but I have been serving as judge of election for many, many years here. Okay, the person that is willing to pick up I cannot pick up the supplies. I am not available on Saturday to pick them up. I have a funeral. I'm going to be away. Okay? Pat DiCola, who was a former judge of election, who has been serving on my board for 30-something plus years, and on her board, has offered to pick up the supplies. She lives across the street from Interboro High School. But we have found no way right now to designate her as the person to be the pickup person for Norwood First Precinct. We don't understand what this process is
Let me try and take this one, and I'm sorry for any confusion. You can have her sign up, and she can take your precinct, or you're saying you already signed up for a time?
We were already designated a time. So we didn't sign up for anything.
Okay.
Let me backstep. We signed up to put our where it says about on the DelcoPA.gov site, I guess it is. You know, if you want a Delaware County poll worker contact form, that's what we all signed up on.
Okay.
So it makes
We're going to send out another email blast where you can sign up for a specific time, and that person that you're designating can sign up, and she'll give her driver's license for the precinct. I know that there is paperwork that's required, and we will make sure that that is online as well.
Okay, because the paperwork, you know, like I said, we've received it, and I just filled it out. I signed it and put her name on it, gave her the paper, or whoever the person was, and they took care of it. So this has been really, really, you know, confusing for us. If I just sent Lauren, I don't know if this is Lauren or not, but I just sent you a email. I was told to when I stopped out in media today. My second thing was, I do not see it. I can't find it. But on that website with all the other videos, I do not see any video on Verify Scan, which is the one piece of new equipment that we're using for this election that we did not use for the primary in May. And I feel desperately that we need a video on how to use the scanner.
Well, can I ask you a question? This is Marianne Jackson. Were you trying to access the links through the email that we sent, or were you actually on the Delaware County website trying to access it?
I'm not sure which. Are you talking about for the videos?
Yes, uh-huh.
The videos I am doing at the, I went from my email, which took me to the DelcoPA.gov /poll workers resources. I'm looking at it right now, and there's nowhere in there that I see a link for, other than a PDF.
Yep.
So, for the Verify Scan.
So I do believe that there is a video on that, and I would just suggest that you not go through the link on the email, but you actually go straight to the Delaware County website, look under poll worker resources, and you should find it there.
Okay. Poll worker resources.
I believe there was a video on that.
There might have been in May. I'm pretty sure somehow it got missed for this election, because I'm looking at it, and it's not there. And honestly, I can't download. I can't take all these PDFs with me to the polls. But I think you guys said something about a tablet or something.
Yes, we will. We will be providing every precinct with a preloaded tablet, like a Samsung tablet or an iPad or something like that, that has all of the PDFs and all of the videos downloaded on them. So that will be absolutely available to you.
And does that require Wi-Fi in order to work?
Nope, it does not. It will be downloaded and super easily accessible for you.
That is awesome, because I was hoping for my regular paper copy with the checklist, but
yep.
I like checklists. I'm a teacher. I like checklists. Okay, so that makes me a little bit happier.
Okay.
And I should be looking for, I'm going to try Googling just the scanner, maybe somewhere out there in, YouTube land is a video of how to use the scanners, I'm hoping. But like I said, I've been very frustrated by the fact that, you know, with all the different training that we've had, this online stuff, I went to the in-person today, I'm talking to you guys now, and I was blown away by the fact that that is the one video that's missing, because it's the one piece of equipment we're using this time that is the first time we're ever using it, brand new. So that scares me.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I would add is that the scanner is actually really, I think if you look at the PDF, I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at the PDF on the Verity scanner. It's a little bit. Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, I think the scanner, while it is certainly a new piece of equipment, it's pretty intuitive and pretty self-explanatory, I think, in that Verity Scanner PDF that's available online on how to use it. So, but I totally understand you wanting to make sure that you look at as much information as possible to make yourself comfortable.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I think I'm good on most of these things. Just to clarify one more time, you guys are going to be.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interject. I know you had asked questions about the scanner system, and there are two areas. This is Christina Icona, poll worker training. So there are two areas that I can tell you where to go. I don't know in poll worker resources if you watched the 11-minute video on how to connect your machines. That shows you a little bit about the machines. And then if you go to the voter resources page on the if you're on the right-hand side, there's an area called voter resources. If you scroll down to the bottom section there, there is voting system information, and there is information on the Hart Verity system, the Hart Verity 2.3.4. That links to the videos. There's more about the voting system there. There are three or four videos. There's a one-minute instructional video. There are videos there that may be what you were looking for.
That sounds like it could be this is what happened. It wound up on the voters' information versus the poll workers'
yes, information. Yes, because we want to make sure the voters know how to use it. So that's where it is over there. So hopefully that's helpful as far as where those videos are.
Thank you. I'm looking for it.
The voter will be the one using the scanner. The poll worker or machine operator will be there to assist, but the voter is the one that takes their ballot and puts it in the scanner, not somebody from the poll workers team.
And therein lies the problem. I'm unfortunately a Murphy's Law type of person when it comes to things like that. So that's why I feel I need to be prepared to deal with things when something goes wrong. And that's where I feel I haven't been fully educated about the scanners, because I know Frank personally from your garage there, from problems we've had. But with that said, I just want to clarify one more time about you're going to send out a new link where Pat DiCola, who is my designated person to pick up supplies, can go on, register herself to do that, and show her ID, and everything will be fine at Interboro on Saturday when she goes to do that. Is that correct?
We'll make sure of that.
You guys are awesome, and I truly appreciate it because that was our biggest concern. She was ready to quit because we've been so frustrated with trying to get this information. And she, like I said, she's a 30-year veteran. So,
well, we're happy
thanks,
she's not quitting.
What?
We're happy she's not quitting.
I hope not. There's still time. All right. Thank you very much, and I'm going to keep listening.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Matthew Saunders. Your line is open.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. A lot of my questions have already been answered, so I do have one question, though. Parkside is a relatively small electorate, and normally on average, we've gone through maybe the most I've ever encountered was at a normal election was 4 or 5 provisional ballots during an entire election day. During the primary, because of absentee ballots and et cetera, we were given 44 and we used every single one of them. So my questions are, will additional provisional ballot materials be provided on election day? And will we receive more than one privacy envelope? Because I anticipate probably having lines, more than one person at a time wanting to fill out a provisional ballot.
Lorraine, do you want to take the question about the provisional ballots?
We have increased our numbers of the provisionals. The law has also changed some with the provisionals where if you've cast the ballot, you have to, you cannot vote a provisional, correct?
But the exception being that if they think they made a mistake, then they can get one.
Correct. There's the exception, whereas if you think you made a mistake and you want to just have that as a fail-safe vote, that will secure your vote as we compare it to the mail-in or absentees that we've previously cast. So we'll use that as a fail-safe for you. So we have increased the numbers, but as I say, the situation is not identical to what was in the primary, so we are hopeful that you'll have a much more controlled and positive experience with the provisionals this time.
That was really it. Like I said, most of the questions I had have already been answered. So thank you.
All right, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Gretz. Your line is open.
Thank you, guys. I have a few questions. The first is, what do you suggest we do for social distancing in polling locations where the entrance is also the exit?
Hey, this is Manly Park. I would say that, first of all, you probably don't want to have a steady line of people just standing all the way through from the polling place all the way through the doorway and out. It would be better to have only a very limited number of people allowed through the door, depending on how big the polling place is. I mean, if it's a gymnasium, then you could have a lot more people inside than one or two. But if it's a smaller room, like many polling places in Delaware County, I would suggest that you not have a continuous line going from the check-in table and all the way out through the door and out for the reason you identify. So it would be better to start the line outside the door with maybe a one or two or three people inside, manage that flow, and then basically have people stagger people so you don't have somebody coming through the door to come in at the exact moment somebody's going out. So if you just stagger the flow at the door and don't let a steady line be just standing all the way through the doorway, you might be able to manage that better. But, you know, it's going to depend on the layout of the polling place and all those things. So just use your best judgment and try to maintain that six-foot space.
Okay, my second question is, do the remitted ballots each get their own envelope, or do they all go in the same envelope?
Yes, this is Laureen. They would all go in the same envelope, so it would be all the spoiled ballots plus the returned ballots that somebody's surrendering so they can move forward to the scanner. They all would go into the spoiled ballot envelope.
Third question, the SURE report with the red dots, we're still going to have to put the red dots next to the name of the person who's in the SURE report, or does the books come with, like somebody mentioned earlier, the red stamp that says this person has already requested a ballot and or voted through that particular mail-in or absentee ballot? What's that process for us?
So those are kind of two different things. The books for any ballot we've already received back, and that's a bunch, as of the time the poll books were generated, which was, I think, a couple of days ago. Anybody whose ballot had already come back to us by that point would be listed in the poll book as we already received the ballot back, okay? Then there is a SURE report that would potentially supplement that information. I think that we may try to consolidate that so it's just in the supplemental poll book as opposed to a separate report. In any event, the goal there is basically to make sure that no one who's received from us a mail-in ballot is allowed to vote on the machine on election, or not on the machine, but receive an election day ballot at the polling place unless they actually turn in their mail-in ballot and spoil it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The reason being that you don't want somebody voting their mail-in ballot and then walking in and getting an election day ballot, and once that's filled out and run through the scanner, there's no unscrambling the egg, right? So the point is real simple in a big picture. It can get complicated in the details, but in the big picture is if they're in the book as having received a mail-in or an absentee ballot or having returned a mail-in or an absentee ballot, they don't get an election day ballot that would be voted in the polling place and run through the scanner in the polling place unless they've spoiled their mail-in or absentee ballot in the polling place and exchanged it for the regular election day. There, as I mentioned before, there will be some people who've gotten these duplicates or replacement, I should say, replacement mail-in or absentee ballots. They will be the ones stamped provisional only. They will not be allowed to spoil their ballots because they have a second ballot around somewhere. And we don't want them to be spoiling their now canceled ballot and actually having voted their replacement live ballot. So hopefully that clarifies the issue a little bit. And the Shore report is less crucial this time around than in the primary because the solution is they can just vote a provisional, and if it turns out they voted their mail-in earlier, we'll catch that and we'll not count their provisional.
So just to clarify and be clear, the red dot is something that we're not – isn't something we have to do, is there another way to do it?
Correct. You won't have to do it. Everybody who's been sent a mail, who's applied for and been approved to receive a mail-in or absentee ballot will be either in the poll book or the supplemental poll book because that deadline was yesterday, and we'll create the supplemental poll book in time to capture all of that information.
Where are the oaths and the pay vouchers, where do those come? Are they part of the things that we get on Saturday or Sunday, or they come in the box? It doesn't seem like they come as part of the cage.
They will not be in the cage.
If you're talking about the election officer's oath, they're in your white supply box. And when you say pay vouchers, if you're talking about the pay sheets where everybody mm-hmm. signs in for their day of service, that also will be in your white supply box.
And the polling codes as well?
The codes, I believe, will be in, it's a clear, it's taking the place of the black bag. It's a clear box or tote. It's a small box that will have your lanyard with your machine keys and the passcodes.
That's in the cage or in the box that you get over the weekend?
I believe it's actually in a plastic bag that will have this tote, your white supply box, and Christina, if you can help me, if there's a third thing in there. I don't recall that.
It's the iPad or the tablet, so there will be three things in that bag.
And they're picked up as part of the pickup over the weekend, right?
Right, yes, correct. They're picked up, but those three items will be together in, I believe it's a clear plastic bag. That you will have, then you'll also get the blue registration bag.
And this is my final question. And should I be concerned if I was informed by the people who get together and decide who the poll workers are for each, you know, the representative from each party, you know, what your, you know, they come up with their plan for what they want my precinct to look like together. If I haven't heard from you yet through email, is there an issue?
Christina, are you on the line? I'm not sure I understood the question either. Sorry.
So I've been informed that I'm working the polls, but I haven't received anything from you that says that I like everything that I get from you guys has come through a representative. You know, it's come from my local party rep. It hasn't come. It's been forwarded to me.
Gotcha.
Somebody else. I haven't gotten it from you. So I'm a little concerned with I haven't gotten anything from you that's official. I applied through the website and everything, and when they got together and decided, you know, kind of made their plan, I haven't gotten anything from you that officially says, yeah, you're actually this, you know, or that, you know, or an email confirmation or anything like that. So I haven't gotten anything from you yet. Is that a problem?
If you can give me your name, I can email you.
All right. Sure. It's Andrew, A-N-D-R-E-W. Last name is Greth, G-R-E-T-H.
G-R-E-T-H. Okay.
I'm supposed to be the J-O-E in the sixth, supposedly. At least that's what I've been preparing for anyway.
Brookhaven 6. That's what I have
here. Brookhaven 6. Okay, good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. What I've been preparing for. Mm-hmm.
All righty. That's what you are, and that's what I've got you assigned as. So I apologize. And you might want to check your spam filters. There have been letters that have been sent out. They would come from Delco poll workers at co.delaware.pa.us.
Okay. I will check my
And you should have gotten the one that had your entire team listed out with their emails and contact information.
Okay. I'll check
I will resend
folders.
It to you now.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I have. I don't have any more questions. I'm good.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Brown. Your line is open.
Hello. Thank you, everyone. I must say, everyone, the training materials that you've provided have been extremely helpful. This is going to be the first time that I've worked as a poll worker. So some of my questions are going to be probably very basic, but here we go. First and foremost, I should first say, similar to Andrew, I have not received any official email or materials from you. I, too, was assigned to be a poll worker, and all the materials that I've gotten have been forwarded to me. So I share his concern with that. I was assured that, yes, I should proceed to be at the polls, and so I've been training, and I attended the session today.
Can I have your name?
Again, my name is Michael. That's spelled M-I-C-H-A-E-L-E. Last name Brown, B-R-O-W-N. And I've been assigned to be the minority inspector at Ward 3, at Ridley Township, Ward 3, Precinct 2.
That's what I have as well.
Yay!
Oh, great, great. Okay, so I attended the session today, and my first question is this. I was not aware I was expected my question is, who is supposed to be picking up the white box they referenced today, and then this laptop that you speak to? Who is responsible for picking up these materials?
Those would be picked up by your judge of elections, and I have you listed as minority inspector, so that is not your responsibility.
Okay. All right, coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, I have also applied for and been assigned to work as a seasonal Board of Elections worker participating in the pickup and drop-off. So I'll be there actually all day on Saturday at Interboro High School. Will I have an opportunity there to meet? I've never met any of the people that I'm going to be working with. Will I have an opportunity to meet them prior to Election Day?
In most cases, no, because they would probably not be at the, maybe one would be at, you'd most likely be meeting on Election Day when you show up to work.
Okay. On Election Day, then, even the polling station, our polling station, the physical location has changed. And in fact, where we are going to be is going to be two precincts combined into one. So one of my questions is who decides, or when is the layout decided and conveyed to us?
Typically, the layout will be discussed between the Joes, and the judges of elections will determine how they want the site to be set up. So your role on Election Day is simply to go in and work as the minority inspector and fulfill those obligations. The judges of elections have the largest role in deciding how they want to best set up the room so that there is good flow. They might ask for recommendations or for your thoughts on that. but usually that's one of the reasons why we ask that people get there early so that they can help set up the site and work on that together.
Okay, then that actually leads to my second question. I see in the materials they talk about being there around 6, but can I get there earlier?
If you want to get there earlier, I would recommend that you reach out to the Judge of Elections via email in the emails that will be sent out that you should have, although I'm looking and I'm missing the email for your Judge of Elections. I think he just sent it over to me, so I'm finally at the point where I can get that letter out to your team. If I didn't have the email for the judge, I was withholding that information. The judge is usually the person that needs to communicate with everyone, so we really need to get those judges' email addresses in. So you would want to communicate with your judge to make sure that the building will be open. In some cases, people will go at 6 o'clock sharp to open the doors. In other cases, they may give the Judge of Elections a key. It varies based on the location.
So I should expect to get an email from you with contact information for the Judge of Elections?
That's correct. It will have all the contact information for the team.
Okay. That's pretty much it. I'm sure I'm going to have more questions later. And I understand there's another one in these sessions tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes, there's another session tomorrow evening. I want to say at 7. And we will also be scheduling one on Saturday and one on Sunday. We'll post those on our website, and we'll also send that out in an email to all of you to whom we have, which we have your email addresses. So if you want to go to that one as well, you're welcome to.
Yeah, I think I maybe probably one over the weekend. I've gone through almost all of the material, but I'm finding it helpful to go through things again.
That's great. We appreciate you going through all the material. That's a commitment of time, and we really appreciate it.
Well, I'm anxious to participate. I'm looking forward to it. That's all the questions I have for now, and I will sign up for a session over the weekend.
Okay.
And just one last thing. You do have my email address in, correct?
I do, and let me just make sure. I'm just going to give you the first to mjbrown1050.
Yes, that's correct.
All righty. Yep, I've got you. Didn't want to give you give everybody else. So there's a lot of people in on this call, so thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm done. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jennifer Short. Your line is open.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, good. Thank you very much for doing this. I have a question for Christina Iacono. When do you expect to get the team members for Concord Township?
Concord Township, let's see. I believe I have almost everyone there. Do you have a particular precinct?
Yeah, I'm in 11, but I also know that 6 has not been sure about who was going to be designated as Judge of Elections there. And the minority inspector there is Randy Eman, E-H-M-A-N.
I do have his email address, yes.
Okay.
I don't have anything from the issue there is I have not heard from the elected members, the people that are elected to the Judge of Elections and majority positions have not responded back yet with regard to whether or not they will or will not be present.
Right. So, my understanding is that they resigned but didn't resign.
Okay, well then based on what you're telling me then, I can appoint volunteers to fill those positions and then get that out. But, I don't know that. I have not heard that. I've not heard any responses. So, by law, we kind of have to wait until 5 days before the election day before we can post other people to those sites if we don't hear from them.
That's good to know. So should, in this case, when there's situations like this, should like somebody in the precinct email you directly and just say, this
yes,
is what
please.
We understand? Because
please,
we've talked
please,
to,
please. Yes.
Okay. We've talked to the, I'm in the Democrats, and we've talked to the Republican chairman as well. And, you know, the judge isn't getting back to anybody as far as I know.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. You know, on my end, you know, I've made several calls. All I have is a phone number, but I've made many calls, and that's to Andy Briner and to the judge there, and I just have had no responses. So, if you want to reach out to me by email, I can give you my email. The best email is iaconoc@co.delaware.pa.us. And I'll respond pretty swiftly to that, and we can work together to get your boards filled.
Okay, great. And so Concord 11, do you have a judge?
Concord 11, I have a judge listed, Catherine Petrini.
Okay. And you have her email? She should be on this call. Okay. Okay, thanks. So, and then the last question I have is about pickup as well. So if there's an agreement in the precinct for all the group that we expect to be there for somebody to pick up, then that person can just register and go. And if there's no one else that's registered, then they will be able to pick up the materials, correct?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. That's all. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Bob Hamburger. Your line is open. Excuse me, Bob Hamburger. Your line is now open.
Yeah, I have a question. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. We can.
Okay, just want to see how do you do a write-in vote? How does somebody write in a candidate? Is it on a ballot? Or is it on a ballot, or do you have to use a scriptwriter?
No, to do a write-in, you would, on the office you're interested in doing the write-in for, there's still a block, just like the other candidates, and you fill that block in its entirety. And then on the line to the right of the block, you would print the name of the person you wish to vote for.
Okay. That's what you answered the rest of my questions. Thank you.
Great.
Your next question.
And just one other point. Those instructions for how to do the write-in are right on the face of the ballot. So if somebody's confused, you can just refer them right to the instructions right on the ballot for how to do a write-in.
Thank you.
Okay. Your next question comes from the line of Elizabeth Wallen. Your line is open.
Yes. Could you go over it again and tell me what a naked ballot is and an undercount?
I'll take the naked ballot question. This is not really a matter for you, I would say, because these ballots are not being returned to you at all. But what a naked ballot is when somebody receives a mail-in or absentee ballot, they're supposed to fill out the ballot, put it inside something called a privacy envelope, which is generic, and then put that privacy envelope inside an external return envelope that they then sign a declaration on the outside of. People who put the ballot directly in the return envelope without first putting it in a privacy envelope have voted a naked ballot because the ballot is not inside the privacy envelope, meaning that when you open the outside envelope, you immediately see the ballot, which eliminates the anonymity of the vote. And the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania determined that ballots that are returned, mail-in and absentee ballots that are returned without being inside the privacy envelope, can't be counted. That's what everybody's calling a naked ballot. Now, that won't be an issue for you at all, except the only way it becomes even remotely relevant is if somebody comes in and says, I already returned my mail-in ballot, but I think I voted a naked ballot. I forgot to put it in the privacy envelope. and that's somebody who just gets a provisional ballot, and they vote the provisional ballot, and if it turns out that they did vote a naked ballot, when we look at them later, when we're reviewing all of the mail-in and absentee ballots, then we will not be counting their mail-in or absentee ballot because it was a naked ballot, and then we will look at their provisional and, assuming it was filled in correctly, count that.
Okay, thank you. And also, can you tell me what an undercount is? You did explain it, but I didn't get you onto it.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Or Manly, if you want to do that.
I'm happy to do it. An undercount is just, but imagine somebody fills in their ballot. They don't want to vote for president, so they don't vote at all for president. They fill in all the other races. They put the ballot in the scanner. The scanner will detect that the voter has not cast a vote for president, and it will spit the ballot back out three-quarters of the way, not all the way, and a little message will come up saying, hey, you didn't vote for every office on your ballot. Do you want to take your ballot back, or do you want to submit the ballot as is? And the voter wants to intentionally not vote for the office of president or any other office that they may have skipped. They can hit the button on the scanner that says vote the ballot as is. The ballot will be sucked back into the scanner and scanned in and counted.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Gloria and Ellis. Your line is open.
I just wanted to ask, where in Rose Tree Park are we going to get these provisions?
We are going to have lots of signage all over Rose Tree Park, directional signs that we're going to put up so you know exactly where to enter.
Okay. Won't there be tents up as well, Christina, so it will be hard to miss?
Well,
I'm sorry. It'll be what up?
We're hoping there's going to be tents on Sunday that you'll be able to see, but we have plenty of signs that are going to direct you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Dean Water. Your line is open.
Hi. I looked in the, where is it? One of these, how to plan your polling site, and it had those plastic, partitions. Are they going to be available to us?
This is Jim Savage, Voting Machine Warehouse. They're not being delivered with the equipment. If we received a lot of negative feedback on them in the primary, their usefulness is somewhat questioned because the poll worker is seated while the voter is standing, actually looking over the shield, the table shield, so we're providing extra face shields. If any precinct still wants to have table shields, you can call the voter warehouse, 610-874-8780, and we'll try to make arrangements to get them to you somehow. Either you can somebody can come pick them up. We've had a lot of people come pick them up that wanted them. We have very limited capability to deliver to 400 precincts, but we've been doing our best to get them to the people who want them, which is less than half.
Okay. Thank you. My second question is that when a ballot...
If I could just interrupt you. If you do want them, you come get them or whatever, however we get them to you, then you can just leave them with your voting equipment when you pack up at the end of the night, and when the movers come to pick up your equipment, they will bring it back. So it's just a matter of getting it to you is the problem.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. My second question is that when you get the deactivation code on a ballot that gets put into the scanner, does that become then spoiled and it goes into the spoiled bag?
When you say a deactivation code, what are you referencing?
Well, one of the things you had mentioned is if somebody had put the ballot in twice. Say they put it in, you know, like they, I guess they, I don't know, you had mentioned something about a deactivation code where they were get, basically it was rejected. The ballot was rejected.
Okay, that's not anything that happens at the polling place, and there is no deactivation. What I was explaining is that when someone gets, when someone applies for a mail-in or absentee ballot, and that application is approved, and that ballot is sent out to that voter, sometimes the voter loses that ballot or it gets, you know, damaged in some way or what have you. And those voters can come into one of our voter service centers and say, hey, I applied for my mail-in ballot. I got it. I've now lost it. Can I get a replacement ballot? And that's possible. What happens is the this happens at the voter service center, not anything at the polling place, but the voter service center worker deactivates the first ballot and reprints the ballot a second time, and that new ballot is active. And what I was explaining is if that voter wants to try to play games and risk going to jail for committing felony voter fraud, they could fill in that replacement ballot and mail it through the post or drop it in a Dropbox or what have you, and then bring the original ballot in that's no longer valid, but as far as any judge of elections can tell, looks real, and bring the original envelope for that ballot in and try to get them spoiled out for an election day ballot. And that it's only for those people who've gotten these replacement ballots, they're going to get this provisional only stamp, which will mean that you cannot take their ballot and spoil it and give them an election day ballot to fill out and run through the scanner at the polling place. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. And then my third question is that when a ballot is spoiled, is there a stamp that we stamp on there spoiled, or do we write on there spoiled so that it doesn't get mixed up with anything else?
What you can do with the ballot that if somebody spoils a ballot or makes a mistake that they want a new ballot when they're voting at the precinct, I would have them fold over the ballot. The back side of the ballot has no offices or candidates on it. And then write on the back side, the blank side, spoiled, and then deposit that inside the large spoiled ballot envelope. It's one of the large manila envelopes. I believe it has perhaps red writing on it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and thanks for doing this. You guys are great. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Elizabeth Ann Gittle. Your line is open.
Hi there, and it's Betty Ann Gittleman. I appreciate it, though. Is there a link where I can find the streets involved with my with the precincts and wards and precincts? Is there some place I can go? A lot of voters, some of my voters come in and they ask, am I in the right place to vote?
Jim, are you on the line? And do we know if we have that map kind of available on the website about the outline of the precincts?
Rather than to call for I call the Bureau on Election Day.
Our map only shows polling locations for precincts, specific voter address. I think you have to go through voter reg.
Gotcha. Okay. So there is a map about that shows an outline of the precincts. Like, for instance, I'm from Haverford 7-4, and so they could be living across the street, and they don't vote at the high school where Haverford 7-4 is. So I'm wondering if I could find that through. Well, that was basically my only question, but I appreciate your time on this, and great job by all.
Thank you.
County. Okay.
Your next question.
I would just also note, I think there's a website, votespa.com, if I'm not misremembering, that any voter can go to and put in their address, and it will tell them what their precinct is. Votespa.com. So, you know, if somebody's not sure, then, you know, assuming you have reception and a cell phone that allows you to search the internet, you could go to votespa.com or tell them to and put in their address, and that's operated by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's not some third-party group, and it will tell them where they're supposed to vote. There's a feature on it called Find Your Polling Place.
Your next question comes from the line of Mary Torpy. Your line is open.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I had a similar question to a lot of other folks. I'm in the Upper Darby 311, and during the primary, my judge of elections, I'm the minority inspector, my judge of elections was unfortunately ill, and I'm not able to figure out whether he is well. I don't have his contact information. And so when do I find out who is going to be on my election board, I guess is my question.
Christina, did you want to take that?
Christina, I'm working on Upper Darby. And
this is real time.
I'm having a tough time hearing you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, what precinct did you say you were from?
I'm in the 311, and I'm the minority inspector.
Okay. As I said, I think you're in the same boat. I've not heard from him, nor have you. So, I guess we're at the point now where we just make emergency appointments, and then you will have a full board. So I will begin that process within the 5-day as we are required by law, and then start sending emails out so you're aware of who your board is.
So I'll get an email that says who's been appointed, et cetera.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
And I have you.
But it didn't happen that way during the primary. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, we're using a newer system. The system will be able to email out the boards once the boards are full. So that happens automatically. And it's a newer system, which is one of the reasons why we're asking for email addresses for everyone as well. And
great.
It looks
Thank
like
you.
I just have the information. I'm looking at it.
Did you have any other questions?
No, that was it. I just wanted to make sure, because last time around we didn't have a full board and no one picked up our polling books, and it was the morning of the primary was pretty rough.
Yep. All right. Well, we're gonna hope that doesn't happen again. It doesn't sound like it will, so that's great. May, our operator, I'm cognizant of time. We're almost at 6:30, so why don't we take another question, and then we'll wrap up.
Sure. And your last question will be Christine DuBois. Your line is open.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can.
Great. So I just want to make sure I understood a comment previously, and then it segues into a related comment or question. So it seems now that we're not going to need to take the SHORE report and place a red dot next to the names in the poll book, because those names are actually going to be folded into the supplemental poll book with a notation that, you know, they've already sent in a ballot. Is that correct?
That is correct. That exercise was something we had to do in the primary. It is not something that I think we need to do now. And the bottom line is, unless somebody says provisional ballot only, if they bring in the ballot and the outer ballot envelope, then you can spoil that and give them a regular election day ballot. If somebody is indicated in the book as having already returned their ballot and believes that they've made some mistake on their mail-in or absentee
right.
ballot and like make it a ballot, then they can get a provisional ballot and vote. There is really no circumstance under which somebody can come in and wants to vote a provisional ballot and you tell them no.
No, it's not. I'm not worried about the provisionals. I'm just really worried about the administrative task on Tuesday morning. We don't have to be concerned that somebody whose mail-in ballot you all received on Monday, long after the poll books were printed, is somehow on a last-minute report to us, this SURE report, because actually they are going to be rolled into the addendum to the poll book. Is that correct?
Right. And even if we have received their ballot, and that, I mean, we'll receive ballots on Election Day, too, that won't be in any report anywhere, that's okay, because if they vote a provisional ballot, we'll catch that, because we would count their mail-in ballot, and then when we go to consider their provisional ballot, we'll note that their mail-in ballot has been counted, and we won't count their provisional ballot. We do the provisional ballot counting later.
So that it at least will say that they had requested and received a mail-in ballot. So we'll know that they're kind of a mail-in type person, and that you guys are going to figure out later what their status was of mail-in. But one way or another, their mail-in-ness will be noted.
Correct.
Okay. So then that relates to the second question, which is in the PDF on the Poll Worker Resources site called How to Plan Your Polling Site on page 12. It says that the blue bag will be delivered on Election Day, and that's the one that has ballots, the poll book, the privacy screen for provisionals, et cetera. Well, my understanding
Yeah, that's incorrect. That
yeah.
blue bag will be picked up as part of the pickup over the weekend.
Okay, that's what I thought. And the ballots actually won't be in the blue bag. The ballots will be in the cage, correct?
That is also correct.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that it was wrong, not me. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Just to clarify, provisional ballots
are in the blue bags.
Right.
The Election Day ballots are in the cage.
Okay. Yep. Got it. Okay, thank you so much.
Great, thanks. And listen, thanks everybody for joining this afternoon. I wanted to just make everybody aware we do have another call scheduled for tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Please feel free to join in on that, and we'll also be scheduling a call, I want to say, at 9 a.m. Saturday morning, and another call on Sunday afternoon, just so we can try and reach as many folks as possible. And we're also going to be trying to add some additional hands-on training courses this weekend as well. So please look out on our website for those updates. And I know, Jim Savage, you had a closing comment that you wanted to make.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for what you do. I just want to make it's kind of a safety announcement or a caution. The cages that the equipment is delivered in are heavy. They're on four wheels. A fully loaded cage weighs around 400 pounds. So move them with two people, move them slowly. If they get momentum, they can be hard to stop, especially if you're on an inclined surface. If one of these things gets away from you, let it go. Don't try and get in front of it and stop it. It will run you over. I can bring out new voting equipment if that's what it takes, but I can't bring a new Nana or pup-up to your grandchild. So please be careful manipulating these cages and moving them around. There is at least one wheel on every cage that has a brake, like a lock. It's like a little lever. Click it with your foot when you get the cage to where you want it and you want to unload it, lock it in place so it doesn't move around on you. Please be careful with it. I hope everybody has a safe, healthy, and complication-free Election Day. Thank you.
Great close, Jim. So thanks, everybody. We appreciate your time. And as Jim said, we look forward to a great Election Day on Tuesday. So thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.